Let's pray. Father, we come before you and we lift this time and this message up to you. We put them in your hands to do what you want with them, Lord. Whatever's from you, please let it find a home in our hearts and change us. Whatever's not, let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. For the next couple of weeks, we're going to be dealing with the changes in our lives, the ones we all face. And we'll do so by examining the changes that Israel faced as they left Egypt and headed to Canaan. But before we do that, I want to take this week and try to understand the basics of change and change as a spiritual reality, the theological points. Begin with Ecclesiastes 3:1. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. So often we view this verse and the seven that follow it as verses that are addressed to our understanding of time, but in reality, they're about change. They make us face the reality of the life that has fallen. Everything changes. And the ticking of the clock doesn't herald the melodic cadence of our stable lives, but rather its chaotic and challenging variances. These verses speak to a solemn reality of this life. You cannot hold on to anything good, no matter how much you love it, and you cannot avoid everything harsh, no matter how hard you try. Time is the measure of change, especially the change that dominates all others, the first one that Solomon lists here, a time to give birth and a time to die. If the clock is ticking, you are in the process of changing from being alive to being dead. Solomon then lists some of the changes we face in between being born and dying. No matter what the specific, he notes, there's a constant among them. Things begin and then they end. This is a source of comfort for the harsh things, because they won't last forever. And it's a source of anxiety for the pleasant things. I can't bear to lose it. This dichotomy of change is contrary to the reality of our divine nature, where things begin, and from there, they progress eternally, and they never end. We have issues with change. We seek the consistency and stability we were created to exist in. We miss it. But we find ourselves unable to control our own conditions. There is nothing here you can keep, no matter how much you desire it. Everything and everyone that you hold dear will one day leave you, or you will leave them. This is the true reality and the price of sin. Each of us faces these challenges individually, be they pleasant or harsh. Some of us here are facing changes in our financial stability. Some of us are facing changes in our health, changes in our social conditions, gaining or losing friends or family. Sometimes these changes bind to one another, as a change in one often causes a change in the other. When we make prayer requests, we're letting others know what changes we are facing. And those of us who have already experienced the change that our brother and sister ask us to pray for, pray with a little more fervor, because we understand and have empathy for it. There are also the changes we all face communally as a church. The overall economic and social conditions that we live in, changes in membership and leadership, the effects that time has on our facilities and equipment. For us, the truth of change is made evident in our building as the words of verse 3 prove themselves out before our very eyes, a time to tear down and a time to build up. When we marry, we make a vow with another that acknowledges the coming changes, for better or for worse. It is a declaration that recognizes changes are coming, and that no matter what they are, the two will face the changes as one until the final change occurs and death parts them. As noted, some changes are for better and some are for worse. And as time passes, experience slowly changes most of us from glass half full hopefuls to glass half empty realist. As we grow older, most of us generally learn what Solomon learned in Ecclesiastes. No matter what hand you've been dealt or how well you've played your cards, death is the trump card that rules over all changes. It makes us acknowledge that even the changes that are generally to our advantage cannot be held on to. This is the wisdom of age, acknowledging the defeat of blissful ignorance by the brute force of time. We try to so desperately to hold on to what we have. We anchor our will to fantasy and implausible hope. And change becomes our enemy. and we refuse to surrender to a foe that we cannot defeat. Vanity of vanities, always vanity. The harsh changes that sin brings into all of our lives cannot be avoided. They are inevitable. For many of us, the only constant in life is change. The harsh effects of this instability of sin can only be assuaged by the unchanging consistency of God's eternal grace. What sin has made our enemy, grace endears to us. We don't find victory in change when we defeat it. We find victory in it when we surrender to God, when we give Him our time, our choices, and our changes. When we turn our life over to God, we leave the perspective of the temporal and enter to the eternal perspective, where change is never less but always more. In the hands of God, the glass is always completely full, and it never empties. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. No matter what changes you have faced, are facing, or will face, who and what Jesus Christ is to you will never change. He is the only constant in a volatile world. When you lose your job, when someone you love leaves you, when you lose the ability to make your own decisions, when the mind you counted on for clarity begins to fade, when all of your reasons for getting out of bed tomorrow are gone, when dignity has been redefined by age, there remains one great eternal reality. God loves me. He always has. He always will. Malachi 3:6 says, For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Now allow that to sink in for a minute. God is saying, because I do not change, you will not be consumed by change. The one thing that never changes, not overwhelms all the things that do, it has the power to take change out of the loss column and put them squarely in the gain column. When change goes from a product of sin to a product of grace, change stops being our enemy, and it becomes our friend. All things begin to work together for the good of those who love God. All things. Now, it was at this point in this message that I stopped because I had to leave to go meet Mikhail and Maya at Kane Hospital. So I left it here. And with this message still on my mind, we met with the volunteer coordinator who walked us through the facility and began to introduce us to various residents and patients and stopped and chatted. And with each person I met, the changes that have affected their lives were evident. Where they lived, who they lived with, what they did with their days, the food they ate, the TV shows they watched, who they socialized with. It had all been altered by a force beyond their own will. Change. I felt the weight of what was overwhelming them and what that change had brought to them, and I began to sense that these changes were waiting for me too. Then we were introduced to a frail-looking woman sitting alone in her wheelchair in the hallway. Her physical atrophy told a story of a long, hard journey with many unpleasant changes faced. Our guide stopped and spoke to her in a familiar tone and asked her if she wanted to sing a song. She responded with a nod of her head, and the two of them began to sing, Jesus Loves Me, right there in the hallway, unashamed of her God or her own abilities. And I turned my ear to hear her soft and mumbled voice, and as I listened, I felt the privilege of hearing the joyful noise that makes angels weep and melts the heart of an almighty living God. I could only imagine what the changes of sin had taken from her over the years. Some were clearly evident, others only she knew. But the changes that grace brought to her were clearly seen by all. As the changing power of grace overwhelmed the changing power of sin, God loved her, cared for her, and He inhabited her praises. Who was still with her was far more important than who no longer was. Who stood by her when the storms of life were raging was more important than those who did not. I saw the words of Malachi come to life. I am God, I change not. Therefore, you, who you are, will not be consumed. no matter what changes this life brings you. What does not change overwhelms what does, and then uses it for his own purpose. Now, after the visit was over, I said goodbye to Mikhail and Maya, and I got out of my car and I turned the key and the radio came on, and a rendition of "The Times They Are A-Changing" was playing as soon as I turned it on. And this line was being sung: "Admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. The times, they are changing." And I thought, well, maybe God's trying to tell me something. In the hands of God, a thing feared becomes a thing endeared. God uses change for his purpose, for your betterment. Hebrews 12:27 says, "The removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain." For those who live in Christ, change filters out the perishable and leaves behind only the imperishable. So you don't cling to a thing that you can't keep at the expense of something you cannot lose. Change has the power to do this in your life well before you completely put on the imperishable. When given to the Lord, change goes from being our enemy to our ally, goes from being our curse to our purpose. We are here to be changed, not to avoid it. Regarding change, Scripture uses a lot of terms. Romans 12:2 urges us to be transformed. 1 John 3 tells us to be like him, not like what we are. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that we are new creatures and that old things have passed away and new things have come. A big change occurred. In Ezekiel 36:26, God promises that he will create in us a new heart and he will remove our hearts of stone. Praise his name. The change I look forward to. 2 Peter 2:18 tells us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Growing is a change. Romans 8:29 tells us that we are destined to be conformed to the image of Christ. And Philippians 3:21 says, "Who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself?" He is changing you through his mighty power. God uses his power to change us, to transform us into something glorious. Change us for better. It's change that will bring all other changes to an end. Since we have seen him as he is, and we are changed into his image, we will never face change again. Heaven and earth will pass away. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. We will receive new bodies, but who and what we are in him will never have to change again, because we have been made perfect just as he is perfect. And if he changes not, and we are conformed to his image, then we will change not. There will be no need. This will finally end. Until that day, know that you belong to the one who rules over all change, even the changes that sin brings into your life. For those who love and serve the Lord, God takes the reins of the changes our failures have brought us and guides them for our good. He takes over. When in the hands of God, the changes of sin, pain, loss, and even death become the changes of grace and sanctification, he doesn't remove them. He uses them. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, "For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces only death." When we face the same things, the same changes, what is different is what they produce: fear and death or hope and life. It's the same instrument. The difference is in who's playing it. 1 Peter 4:12 through 13, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeals among you, which come upon you for your testing, as though it were some strange thing were happening to you. But that to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exaltation." When it really matters, when it really counts, you win. James 1, 2 through 4 says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, the ability to go further, the ability to be more. And let endurance have its perfect result. Let it get out of the way so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. This is saying God will take things from you so that you lack nothing. When you face the change that sin let loose upon this earth, don't be surprised and consider them all joy, because God is using them for His purpose and for your good. Grace transforms change from punishment to profit. Grace turns our gaze from the perishable to the imperishable. Isaiah 65:17 says, "For behold, I have created a new heaven and a new earth, and the former things will not be remembered or come to mind." A new heaven and a new earth. Consider the things that it has cost you in this life to gain this. The changes you had endured. All the things you've lost that worked together to give you this. The one thing that never changes, our God. Your losses to time and change here and now, what living here has cost you, won't even be remembered there and then. When the changes of sin bring about their greatest cost, at that point in your life, the great cost we all must pay, grace reveals its greatest gain. And we ask every time it happens, "O grave, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" Because they're gone. I leave you with Moses' words to Israel. As they look across the river of change into the land of both giants and milk and honey, they were both there. He said to them, "The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." When I walked through the halls of Cain, I felt the weight of the changes that were coming my way. The time when I will lose bit by bit whatever I cannot keep. But when I heard a saint in a wheelchair singing to the glory of God, I felt the glory of the final change that we are all promised. I will cease to be like me, and I will be like him. From that point on, I will change not. It will no longer be necessary. Brothers and sisters, we are filled up with blessings. We are filled up with the knowledge and grace of God so that we can be poured out. But realize that while you're being poured out, the pitcher never empties. You have nothing to fear. Amen. Next week we go to Egypt.